Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the GTC H1 2020 results. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, and if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for an automated message stating your line is open. I must advise you the conference is being recorded today, and that's Wednesday, the 19th of August, 2020. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Małgorzata Kataluska. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's our pleasure to welcome you at our H1 2020 results conference call. I'm joined today by the management board, by Yovav Carmi, Robert Snow, and Ariel Ferstman, and we will conduct a presentation which will be followed by question and answer session. I will hand over to Yovav Carmi to start the presentation.
Hello, good afternoon. Moving to the presentation of the H1 2020. The first thing is that in H1, we have an EPRA NAV of 1.1 billion. This is down 3% compared to same period last year. Operating profit is still strong at 32 million. It's minus 12% comparing to same period, H1 2019. FFO, again, also still strong, but lower than comparing to previous year at 33 million, down 11%. All those are, of course, a result of the impact of the COVID outbreak during the H1. We have a strong cash balance of 142 million at the end of the Q2. Moving to the next slide. Our office portfolio, which is about 60% of our overall portfolio, is showing a resilience to the COVID situation. Occupancy is very strong at 95%. We are not experiencing any collection difficulties. All collection is being handled very good. We have under development 57,000 square meters in three office buildings. The development is ongoing in accordance with the plan, on time and budget, with no disruption due to the COVID. We have one office building, Spiral, in Budapest, under advanced negotiation for sale, reflecting a lift in value of around 10 million. Moving to the retail segment. On the next slide, we can see how the footfall has been evolved since the end of the lockdown in May until the end of July. We see things gradually normalizing. Footfall, average footfall is at 72% in July comparing to July 2019. Even further, we see the turnover of the shopping centers almost at 90%. On average, we are 86% compared to July previous year, with the shopping centers in Poland and in Zagreb at around 90%. This means that the conversion basket is higher because you can see that the sales are higher than the footfall, means that people are really coming to do their shopping, not so much hanging around in the shopping centers. If we look at the overall financial impact of the COVID on the retail segment, we see loss of rental revenue of 8 million in H1 2020 compared to the expected. Collection is a very high rate of 91% out of invoices in H1. So occupancy is remaining very high at 92%. And the overall devaluation of our assets is 7% compared to December 19. 59 million is the figure. There's a loan, a bank loan from related to Galeria Polnozna that has been reclassified to short term as a result of covenant breaches because of the devaluation. This is under advanced negotiation with the bank to resolve the matter. Ariel will expand more on that later. So this is the impact on the financial impact on the retail. As I mentioned, the office segment is resilient and we saw no impact on our valuations, on collections and so on. Moving to the next slide, here we see the distribution of the portfolio into functional split, regional split, and income generating versus project under construction. This is very much the same compared to 3 weeks ago when we showed Q1 presentation, so there's no difference. And I move to the offices under development. Here, again, we showed the very same thing 3 weeks ago. As I mentioned, there's no disruption in the development. It's going on time, on schedule, on budget. The COVID did not influence here anything. So there's not much to say on this one. And I hand over to Ariel to talk about the financials.
Thank you very much, Eva. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In spite of the COVID-19 outbreak, we end up with, a strong quarter. Our investment in property has been slightly reduced by 5% to 2.1 billion euros in comparison to December, 2.2 billion euros. The decrease is mainly as a result of the losses under revaluation, 68 million euros, mainly on our retail assets. In addition, we have reclassified 63 million euros, mainly the result of the signature of a non-binding letter of intent for the sale of Spiral office building in Budapest. And plus a decrease, which was the decrease was partially offset by an increase of 33 million on the assets under construction that you have mentioned before, PITA, ABC2, and Matrix 2. Regarding the cash and cash equivalents, we have a decrease in cash and cash equivalents, the mainly related to the repayment of the bonds, 58 million euros, plus investment in property and construction, 29 million. This was offset by the successful refinancing of Galeria Jurajska done in early quarter 1, 2020, which generated a top-up of 46 million euros. As Jova mentioned before, we had to reclassify the loan with Bank of Pekao in Galeria Polnozna to short-term loan. This is a technical reclassification as a result that we have not obtained the waiver at the end of June 30. However, we are in very, very advanced negotiations with the bank, very positive. The total exposure for this breach of the covenant is less than 10%, around 15 million euros, and we expect to be able to resolve this very quickly in the upcoming months and come back to you with the resolution of the breach of the covenants in order to relax the financial covenants and be able to stabilize the loan as well. Moving into the income statement, I think I would like to basically discuss a little bit, highlight the slide in number 15, which you can see basically the impact of the COVID on our margin of gross margin of operations. As you can see, the gross margin has decreased by 2.5 million euros. However, the impact of the COVID on a like-to-like basis is 8 million euros. So if we detract the 8 million euros one of the COVID, we would have been having a growth of 10% on a year-on-year basis due to the fact that we have added 7.2 million euros new completions, other shopping mall, Greenheart, ABC1, and Matrix 1 into the portfolio with that completions. Growth 0.4 minus a deduction on the sale of the assets of White House of Neptune in 2019. So overall, we are presenting a 4% decrease on gross margin. However, if we detract the COVID-19, we would have continued the growth that we're having in the last few years, around 10%. Just to mention a little bit the overview on the losses of the revaluation, on slide 16, we had posted on this quarter 62 million euros losses on the revaluation. As you can see, 94% related to our retail assets, 34 million in Poland, minus 16 in Belgrade, 2 million in Zagreb, and minus 7 in Sofia, an average minus 7%. Of the total portfolio. The office, as mentioned by Jovan, still resilient, no major impact, 4 million euros. Just going back quickly on the slide 14 income statement, we end up with a loss of minus 34 million. However, if we detract the revaluation losses and tax, we end up with a profit, operating profit of 32 million euros, versus 37 in the last 6 months of 19, and the result of this difference is mainly attributable to the COVID-19 outbreak. Just moving forward into slide 17, we still remain below our long-term target of 50% LTV. We have slight increase on the LTV, 46%. This is driven by the loss on the revaluation on the retail assets. On the debt maturity, we have here presented this technical reclassification of the 187 million euros loan of Galeria Bonosna with Bank Pekao, which we will probably resolve this in the next few weeks, and this will be spread again back into the original maturity in the next 5 years. In addition, we are in advanced negotiations to be able to recycle that 57 million euros loans upcoming maturity in 30 of June, in order to also spread it in the next 5 years. Overall, if you see on slide 18, just to highlight that the cash flow from operating activities end up with 26 million euros versus 36 million euros for the last 6 months of 19. Again, the main impact here is as a result of the rent discounts and concessions provided due to the COVID-19 outbreak on the retail assets, and I think we end up with a very strong cash position, 142 million euros, which will allow us to maneuver and be able to be ready for any potential issues that we might have regarding this COVID-19 outbreak. I think we'll finish with our presentation, and we are ready to take any questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for an automated message advising your line is open. Please then state your first and last name before you ask your question. You can cancel your request at any time by pressing star 2. So once again, please press star 1 to ask your question. Do you have a question, sir? We'll take your first question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is now open.
Hey guys, this is Jakub from Wood. Thank you very much for the presentation. Just a couple of questions from my side. I was looking at the occupancy and was wondering if you could give us some more color on what kind of tenants presumably went out of business in your larger retail assets. There seems to be a drop in both Polnoćna and Jurajska.
First of all, the drop in occupancy is really minor. This is almost, I would say, what you would expect as almost normal turnover in a shopping center, that shops, some shops are not surviving and others are being replaced. I can say that we are above 90% occupancy on average in all shopping centers, which is a very high number. If you look at the hard period we have been through, I think you can look at if you look at the really major anchors that we have, the fashion anchors, the supermarkets, the cinemas, all of them. With all of them, we reached agreements, and all of them stayed in the shopping center. We even see interest from other retailers that were not present in our shopping centers to enter where there are a weaker performer and to be replaced. So all in all, I think in this active asset management that we are conducting, we are able to maintain the high occupancy, and the evidence is really the normalizing trend in the performance.
Right. Thank you very much. Following on this, I was wondering about the charts which present the evolution of turnovers, which are very encouraging, especially the numbers for the Polish shopping centers. And I wanted to ask whether these have been adjusted for the drop in occupancy, because, for instance, in Jurajska, the occupancy at the end of June this year seems to have been 92%, whereas this time last year it was 99%. And this means that if the charts were not adjusted for occupancy, this would really mean that on like-for-like basis for the tenants that are still there, the turnovers would be almost the same level as last July. Is this correct reading, or has there been an adjustment made?
I assume you look at the footfall, right? The footfall and the turnover slides, right? This is correct?
Yes, I'm looking at the turnover slides in particular, and I wonder if this is for the center as a whole, or if there has been any adjustment made for the occupancy decline at Jurajska.
This is actual figures. This is actual figures of sales in the shopping center. So it's not adjusted to any occupancy. It's just in euros, the sales.
Right. So, for instance, if last year we have 99% occupancy and this year it's 92 at Jurajska, and this year we have 92% of July's turnover, this means that adjusted for occupancy, we are essentially back at the same level.
Yes.
Right. That's very impressive. Thank you very much. I also, last question.
I think you can also take in account that the cinemas that are accounted as within the occupancy, the cinemas are started to be operational in mid-July, but still they are not fully, you know, up and running in terms of they are lacking content, so it's still slow. So if you account also for the, you know, last year turnovers of cinemas, which are within the occupancy, you see even a better picture.
No, that's a good point, and thanks for pointing it out. I mean, it's certainly very encouraging comparing to what we what kind of uncertainty we have been facing in spring. A last question on the shopping centers, the kind of differential in the valuation movement in Polnoćna versus Jurajska. I mean, at Polnoćna we have seen, you know, perhaps which was to be expected, some kind of negative movement, and the degree of the negative movement at Jurajska has been much, much smaller, even though we have seen a negative trend in occupancy at both of these centers. Can you elaborate on what was kind of driving the difference between the dynamic at the two centers?
I think you have to look at those two shopping centers with a longer perspective. Jurajska is a shopping center, a regional shopping center servicing the whole county. It's a magnet for the whole county. It has been around for a longer period of time, so it was gradually building up to be a success as it is now, as you know, shopping centers, it takes them time to become a magnet and a successful magnet for the population. And for Yuraivka, we had that time before COVID. For Polotsna, the situation was a bit different. It was opened more recently. In addition, there was a competing project that was opened about a year ago within a short, relatively short distance, which you know, was additional competition, competition that it bites. So it is expected that it would take longer term for such a situation to improve and to be more successful. This is why the situation in those two shopping centers is not the same. Even though after the opening of the Molchini shopping center about a year ago, our performance in Polnetsna continued to improve, but still, those are, for the reasons I mentioned, they are not entirely comparable, those two centers.
Right, understood. Thank you very much. And a final question on the spiral in Budapest. Firstly, I was wondering if you can shed some light for us on what type of buyer are you discussing with, whether it's a local fund or an international fund, and also this, if I understood correctly, it's booked now at around 60 million euros, and if there is a 10 million gain, it means that it was booked at around 50 million, which means that there is a 20 million valuation uplift relative to where it has been booked before, which is very substantial, and especially considering kind of the current backdrop and the uncertainty. So could you help us understand the reasons behind the selling price being so much higher than where the building has been carried before?
First of all, let's split the question into a couple of, because you asked a few questions. The first question is about the numbers. The numbers are a 10 million uplift compared to Q4 19. It's not 20, it's 10. And the value is not 60, it's a bit higher, but the previous one value was a bit higher than 50. So it's 10 million. This is those are the figures. Regarding the identity of the investor, this is as this property is in local currency, income is in local currency, and the whole asset is in local currency. It's expected that you would find an investor within the local investment community within Hungary. It's a local investor. I think it's important to note that this is an independent investor that has no relation to our majority shareholder, has no connection whatsoever to them. So hopefully this is clarified. This is completely arm's length. It's not a related party transaction in any way or manner. So I hope. I'm happy to clarify this, and the chances of this being successfully closed seem to be high in the next few weeks, or sometime by the mid of October.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now take our next question. Caller, please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. It's Michał Kuzawiński from JP Morgan. Sorry, I wasn't sure if that was me who is able to ask questions now. I want to follow up on generally on the state of negotiations in retail segment, if you could shed some light, what percentage of your total retail space is still being negotiated? Was something already negotiated? And what's the outcomes of these arrangements? I mean, if you could give some guidance on what we should expect for rents going forward. Are these fixed rents? Are some of these rents as percentage of the tenants' revenue? Like how long are the concessions for? I mean, anything you could give us to be able to, you know, forecast the rental rates revolution on your retail portfolio would be very helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So first of all, the vast majority of the tenants approached us and asked for a rent discount. As I mentioned, with all the major tenants, we have already agreed on the arrangement going forward. So it's secured. As you can imagine, each shopping center is about 200 shops, so the amount of work is the workload is high. So it takes some time to conclude all those lease amendments and so on. So this is a time-consuming exercise, but with the vast majority, this has been completed. As regards the terms, the rent discounts that we have given are temporary until the end of this year, and the range of the discounts is 30 to 50% discount comparing to the previous rent. Again, I'm saying until the end of the year. And in exchange for that, we prolong the leases for the period of the discount plus the lockdown. So it's about 8 months on average. So this, I think this gives you a good picture of roughly what to expect.
Okay, thank you. And then, so what have you agreed happens next year? Do you then kind of, you know, sit at the table again with your key tenants and discuss the current conditions? Or do you just go back to the previous rental arrangements from your contracts? Because it will probably depend on the, you know, on the state of the, you know, sales rebound, right?
First of all, I think nobody knows how the COVID situation will evolve, so we're not able to make predictions on that. What we see is that, as we discussed previously, we see the performance of the shopping centers normalizing gradually, with July being almost 90% of the revenues comparing to next year. If this trend continues and people need to go out, need to go shopping, need to consume, need to, you know, they don't want to stay at home. If this trend continues, then there's no reason to expect why they will come back and renegotiate again early next year. As I said, the discounts that were given are temporary against a lease prolongation, so the leases have still a long horizon, so we do not expect them to come back and renegotiate early next year, given the trends that we see of normalizing.
Okay, thank you. And just how, from the accounting perspective, how was this rent relief in Poland accounted for? So did you invoice the rent for the lockdown period, and this is a receivable on your balance sheet, or did you not invoice? If you could please explain how this worked. In terms of accounting and cash flow, yeah, I mean.
I think in terms of accounting, we were not allowed, especially in Poland, we were not allowed to invoice during the lockdown period, and that was by the government regulation. So we didn't issue any invoice for that period. At a certain period of time, I think it was beginning of August, every tenant has the chance to basically sign their technical prolongation for the period of the lockdown, and then enjoy this 2 months discount. Most of the tenants adjourn on that basically vacation on the rent for those 2 months. Like Yova mentioned, we have an average negotiated discounts until the end of the year between 30% to 50%, and those are reflected basically on our financial statements, on the income statement, with the loss of income that we pointed out, 8 million euros, and of course with an impact on our valuations that we posted also as well on the retail assets. I hope this answers your question.
Thank you. So this 8... Yes, this 8 million is the H1 period, yes? Then there will be some losses in the second half, yeah, from these discounts. Okay, thank you. And so I think this is, I think, as clear as can be probably in these circumstances in terms of your retail space. And now in terms of office, what to expect in office? I mean, do you have any possibility to track actually the real occupancy of your office space in terms of, like, you know, the percentage of staff employed by your tenants who actually do work from the office? How has it changed over the months? Are you starting to see any inquiries from your tenants on perhaps needing less space or renegotiating existing conditions? What can you expect there? Also, in terms of if you were to give any rental outlook on this part of your portfolio, in terms of, you know, your existing agreements and in terms of, you know, the where is currently the market relative to what you have locked in your agreements?
This is a very interesting question, and we ask ourselves the very same question all the time, and we read a lot of the research about this because it's something that is still in the make, and it's really hard to predict how this will evolve. I can tell you a few things. One, as I mentioned, currently the office segment is resilient. We are keeping a very high occupancy, 95%. We have no collection issues. We indeed started to measure. I mean, office buildings are normally, you don't measure footfall like shopping centers, but the way you can monitor somehow the physical presence of people in the building, because you have those access cards that you can know how many people compared to normal traffic. This is the way we try to monitor, to measure for our own idea how many people and what is the physical presence in the building. And we do see indeed very low presence in the office buildings. In some buildings it's 20%, some buildings it's 50%. It depends also on the employer and what is the policy of the occupier in the office. And the hope is that, you know, when the school year will start very soon, this will drive people back to the offices. We don't know how the office segment will behave. There are various trends that everybody is expecting, or the experts are expecting, and they are to a certain degree going into opposite directions. On one hand, there might be more home officing in the future, as maybe people got more accustomed to that. On the other hand, we read a lot of employers that are unhappy with the long home officing, which makes it hard to control their employees. Their productivity maybe in the beginning went up, but gradually went down as they become busier with their personal lives. And what we saw also in recent years, offices having a designated area for employees to kind of hang around together and brainstorm, and this is where the ideas come. This is not happening where everybody is isolating alone at home. And also the facility itself at home is not really suitable for, you know, many people are sitting and working from their kitchen table, which is not really the way to work as a long-term sustainable solution. So all those trends, if you mix them together, we don't know what influences more and where this will end up. Plus another phenomena that in recent years we saw many international employers trying to save costs and reduce their space requirement, and by doing that really reduce the working space per employee. This I think will change to the contrary. It will not work anymore. So all this together, it's hard to predict how this will unfold in the future. But you know what we see currently, we don't see any requests from tenants to give back space or to reorganize their space. We haven't seen that yet.
Okay, thank you. So basically, no financial impact, right? And no impact on valuations, as we have seen, but clearly some uncertainty on the kind of longer term, right? Is that a fair summary, yes, of the situation?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Maybe the next question, I wanted to ask you if you are thinking about entering the logistics segment in your key countries of operations. Is that something you would consider, where you could use some of your existing strengths and competencies? Yeah,
I think our strengths are mainly in offices. We have experience in retail, and we're comfortable with the real estate segments that we are really have a lot of experience and track record.
Okay, thank you. And maybe just finally, you have listed the planned buildings on one of the slides, with a few ones listed as projects at planning stage. Do these projects have building permits issued?
Which slide?
It's slight towards the end.
The way this page is designed, that we have those of course under construction, which we spoke about. Those who are ready to be launched, those are the ones that are advanced in terms of the permitting. Either they have a permit or the building permit is just imminent within a distance of weeks. And the ones in planning stage are the ones that are longer term for us.
Okay, clear. Thank you very much. That's it for me.
Thank you. We will now take your next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is now open.
Hi everybody, this is Cezary Bernatek from Erste Securities, Poland. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So just a couple of questions. First one, some with regards to Spiral potential disposal of this project. The question is if you could just approximately estimate what could be the cash to be released from this potential deal. And if I understand you correctly, this deal has potential to close this year still, if I understood correctly.
Yes, like we already mentioned, we expecting there is a high likelihood that this deal will be closed in the next few weeks, maybe a month. We expect to close it early October. As of today, we calculate that this transaction will free up around 40 million euros cash to the company.
40. Okay, great. The second question is concerning the office sector. Basically, it's like a general question. Which is how comfortable do you feel with your current valuation of the office portfolio, in the eye of the fact that in the first half, we saw some pressure on cap rates, like ranging like 20-40 basis points in terms of, for example, Polish prime office properties, and whether we could expect some another look at it at the end of the year. What's your thoughts about it at the current stage?
I think the answer is twofold. One, or threefold. One is that the Spiral deal is quite a good evidence that yields are, you know, it kind of confirms our valuations. This is one. Two, I think the performance of the office shows the high occupancy, the high collection, no really issues with the office sector, shows that there's no really reason to have any adjustments on valuation. What you are considering as pressure on yields is, we don't really see the evidence for that in terms of the real transactions that happened in the last 6 months. If we see some deals happening in Romania, in Hungary, in other markets, we don't really see this yield pressure. What will happen until the end of the year? I don't know, but this is what we see now.
Okay, understood. And the final question from my side is whether you plan some acceleration, potential acceleration in the exits from the standing assets versus like a couple of years that GTC, you know, like sold opportunistically like 1-2 properties per year. Maybe, I mean, there's some potential change to the strategy or not really.
Can you say again? I didn't really understand the question.
Yeah, the question is whether you are planning to accelerate the process of exiting the standing assets of the company.
Accelerate what?
The sales, the exits, the disposal.
The sales. The sales.
Yes.
We don't see any. Yes, as you said, traditionally GTC sells 1 or 2 buildings per year. One we already mentioned, the Spiral one. Whether there will be another one, yes or no? At the moment, it's not on the agenda.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
And to complement on that, as we said, we have a strong cash balance of 142 million. As Ariel mentioned, the Spiral sale will generate another 40 million. I think that puts us in a good position twofold. One, to be able to cope with any downturn related to COVID. And the second is to take advantage of opportunities that we think that will be in the market and we start to see.
Yeah, but okay. So just concerning this, maybe the follow-up. So you're negotiating some purchases at the moment or not really? Not yet, not the moment yet.
When the time comes, we will advise on the purchases.
Okay. Okay, great, thanks. Thank you.
There are currently no further questions on the phone line, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. Thank you, everybody. Have a very good rest of the day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.